Just take your Bibles and turn in them with me to Matthew chapter 1. We'll begin our reading in the book of Matthew, and after that we'll turn to Ruth as we continue our series through the book of Ruth. But first we want to read a little bit from the book of Matthew. In the book of Ruth, we haven't read this part of Ruth yet, but the very end is a genealogy. And it mentions many of the names found in Matthew. But Matthew adds the name of a wife that the book of Ruth does not have in those. Children, we'll refer to it later, but see if you can catch which one it adds. Well, Matthew chapter 1. So we're going to pick up in this genealogy. We're going to pick up at verse 5. People of God, hear now the very words of God. And Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. And Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David, the king. Now let's turn to the book of Ruth. We'll read a number of passages here, turning first to Ruth chapter 1. We'll begin reading at verse 16. Ruth 1, beginning at verse 16, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you.'" And then chapter 2, verse 8 and following, "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn.' And she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?' But Boaz answered her, 'All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.' And then she said, 'I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants.'" Let us turn to chapter 3, verse 9. This is where Boaz said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." And then chapter 4, verse 13 and following. So Boaz took Ruth. She became his wife. And he went in to her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. As far as the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, why are you here? What are you seeking? We continue our series through the book of Ruth and examining some of the themes and the characters in Ruth before we consider it passage by passage. And we come to this morning to a central human character in the book, the one after whom the book is named, Ruth. There are many things about this woman, this virtuous woman, this woman of faith, that stand out. But chief among those is that God blesses those who entrust themselves to Him. That's what I proclaim to you this morning. God blesses those who entrust themselves to Him. And first, as we consider this, when we think of Ruth, we see she's oriented to blessing. Oriented to blessing. And the author of this wonderful book makes it very clear throughout that Ruth was from Moab, a Moabitess. She was a Moabite. As we saw some weeks ago, those in Moab worshipped a false god, the god Chemosh. They were separated from the true God. There was no blessing for them. Now Ruth then was born and raised outside of the beloved people of God, outside the promised land. There was nothing good she could expect from the Lord, from the true God, from Jehovah, from Yahweh, the God whom the Israelites worshipped. Well, how then did this change come about? How did she become oriented to blessing? How did she come to know Jehovah God? Well, maybe she heard of Yahweh much as those dwelling in Joshua's day did. We read in Matthew about Rahab, and children, you remember Rahab, how she and others had heard of what the Lord had done to Egypt, and then how the Lord parted the waters of the Jordan River so that Israel could go through on dry ground into the promised land. Now, if Ruth, this was during the time of the judges, now if she lived at the time of Ehud, or maybe just after, yet again, because Boaz was the son of Rahab, this was probably closer in the front part of Judges. We don't know exactly when Ehud was, but if she lived in that time, Ehud very much dealt with Moab. She would have heard of the Lord and the great victory. But even more, she had married into a Jewish family. And so it's certain that over the years, she would have heard, if nothing else, in that her husband was circumcised, her husband visibly bore the sign of the covenant upon himself. And there'd be questions. There weren't before then. Yes, Ruth had been introduced to Jehovah, even though, as we've seen, her family members that she married into were living in disobedience to God. But she was more than just introduced to the Lord. We read in chapter 1 two wonderful verses. Two verses that capture so well that Ruth was converted. She was oriented toward blessing. From the first time in the story we hear her speak, Ruth, the Moabitess, is a believer in the Lord. And what did we read? Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you." Chapter 1, verse 16. "For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord..." And notice how it's in all caps there. That means she used the word Jehovah, Yahweh. Not just some God, not just your God, but "may the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." She did not take Chemosh on her lips there, as would fit a Moabite. She took Jehovah upon her lips. Why would anyone like this believe? Again, the ones that she knew, Naomi, Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion, they were running from God. The only words that the author records of Naomi in this first chapter are bitter toward God. We saw that last time. This was no good evangelism, not as we desire to evangelize, to be winsome. Brothers and sisters, this shows the power and grace of God. And the way it's presented to us, Naomi didn't try to argue and convince Ruth. You know, Orpah had left, and she said, "Go after her." Well, Ruth said this, and then, well, verse 18, "When Naomi saw she was determined to go with her," she said no more. There's no, "Wow, wonderful, you're a believer in Joel." There's none of that. It's the power and grace of God. In spite of Elimelech, Mahlon, Chilion, Naomi, in spite of what was sensible from an earthly perspective, again, as Orpah demonstrated, Ruth believed. As Boaz said in chapter 2, verse 12, the Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, Jehovah, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. She oriented herself, she pointed herself toward Yahweh for a blessing. Even though we know that not everyone was oriented that way. She believed. That was a gift of God. Not of herself. She could not boast. Naomi couldn't boast and say, oh look, here's someone I brought back, evangelism. No. It's God's gracious work. That's encouraging for us people of God. Tell others about Jesus. Don't we say that again and again? We pray for that boldness, don't we? But we look and we see how far short we fall. We sin. And our neighbor sees that. Our family members see that. But in spite of our failures, God is pleased to use us to bring that good news of salvation. Salvation in Jesus to others. God draws His elect to Himself. God's grace overcomes our sin. Ruth committed herself to Naomi. And even though Naomi tried to push her off, but even more, Ruth committed herself to Naomi's God. And God did not push Ruth away. Naomi left the fields of Moab because she heard the Lord had come to the aid of His people and provided food back in Canaan. But Ruth's words there, verse 16 and 17, nothing about food, nothing about clothing. She doesn't focus on what Naomi might be able to provide her. She binds herself to Naomi, being confronted with Naomi's poverty, Naomi's emptiness. Boaz sees rightly here. She has come to take refuge under the wings of Naomi's God. Ruth is not walking by sight, but by faith. And her confession proves it. She longs to be with Naomi's people. She longs to hold fast Naomi's God. She longs to be in that promised land, to die there. As we read this wonderful confession by Ruth, it's more than just a commitment to Naomi. It was that, certainly, but even more. Again, as Boaz insightfully saw, chapter 2, verse 12, taking refuge under the wings of Jehovah, the God of Israel. By God's grace, she was oriented to a blessing, the God of blessing. She had eyes of faith beyond earthly food and drink, to the God who provides His people with the true bread from heaven, with living water. We hear that in Jesus, right? From the book of John. Bread, water. Everything good in this life and the life to come. The God who has prepared an everlasting city. We saw that some weeks ago from Hebrews 11. Although Naomi did not voice that faith, Ruth did, by God's grace. And that's always been the case with the true people of God in the Old Testament. They heard the promises of the Lord. They looked forward to the Messiah, to the Savior who would come and fulfill those promises, bring them more than just earthly blessing, bring righteousness, forgiveness, renewal, resurrection. We sang of it from Psalm 16. The psalmist gave voice to it. Life beyond the grave. God would not abandon His people there, His Holy One. The true saints were taught that, the story of creation, the fall, the promise of redemption. They, like Ruth, walked by faith. They were oriented to a blessing. The congregation, I ask you again, why are you here? What are you seeking? Could be asked of Ruth once she came back to Bethlehem. Why are you, well, not back, came to Bethlehem. Why are you here? What are you seeking? That question comes to us, has God changed your heart? Do you see beyond your earthly needs, your earthly felt needs, to your ultimate need of having our sins forgiven, having righteousness, being reconciled to the Holy God, living with Him as His child? Your heart, your concern, your worries and fears, are they drawn to this life? They try to distract us, don't they? Naomi was distracted. I can't convince you of blessings of being a Christian. None of us can point anyone to blessings of being a Christian by looking at what eyes can see in someone's pocketbook. where your earthly senses can detect. I can't rightly say to you, well, entrust yourself to Jesus, walk by faith, and you'll have no earthly needs, no earthly wants, no earthly trials, no hardships. You'll have your best earthly life now. I declare to you, though, that God blesses those who entrust themselves to Him. He does that because we see He has sent His Son, Jesus. Jesus has provided all that we lack, has obeyed where we failed, has suffered God's wrath against sin that we should have suffered and perished under forever. He reconciled sinners to the holy God by His suffering, death, and resurrection. And now He rules and reigns in heaven. And it's not for those who are of Israeli stock or Moabite stock, not for the rich, not even for the poor. It's for all those who believe by God's grace. By God's grace, Ruth was converted from being an idol worshiper to a worshiper of the true God. By God's grace, Ruth was oriented to blessing. That call still goes out. Repent and believe. Turn to God. And you are right in His sight. Take refuge under Him and He will provide. You are right with God. God does bless. We see that too in this story. So Ruth begins oriented to a blessing. Now as we move to in our second point, she receives a blessing. She's receiving a blessing. So Ruth clung to Naomi because by clinging to Naomi, she could be joined to the people whom God loved, to Israel, and being joined to the chosen people, to the church, believing Ruth, she would be blessed by God. Believing in God, she would be blessed. And that's what happened. Chapter 2 reveals that. Ruth began receiving a blessing, food from gleaning. Maybe you're saying, you call that a blessing? Well, those who are walking by sight would not. Again, remember what gleaning is. It's going out to the corner of a field and picking up the scraps that are left over. And Ruth worked hard and beat out that barley to have just some food. Scraping by a living? Bare existence in someone else's food, not field, not owning it yourself, picking up what's left over. Ruth left her people, her gods, for this? Yes. And it is receiving a blessing. Ruth volunteered to go out into the fields to help Naomi, even though she, being a foreigner, she could have been assaulted. In fact, Naomi brings that up at one point. She volunteered to go out into the fields and trusted that Jehovah would provide somehow. Maybe she was looking, well, in fact, we didn't read it, but a generous God-fearer who would help her. And she was blessed in her faith in the Lord, in the Lord's work in the hearts of His people. She found favor in the eyes of Boaz. Boaz, a man of standing, we saw that before in Bethlehem. He took particular notice of Ruth. He openly commended her for her faith in the Lord, for entrusting herself, again, as we read, it's been told me fully what you've done. The God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Boaz put his actions where his words were. He provided a safe working environment for Ruth. He ordered the other workers, give her special privileges in harvesting. Let her come up. Let her drink the water that the men drew. At lunch, Boaz himself provided her with a wonderful meal and more than enough to eat and to take home. He invited Ruth, stay in my fields until the end of harvest. She was receiving a blessing from the Lord administered through Boaz. At this point, that blessing was food, provision for continued food, of safety. But those all follow from finding verse 10, as she said, why have I found favor, literally grace? Why have I found favor, grace in your eyes? She was being received into the people. She was shown favor as only an Israelite could hope for. Only a relative of Boaz. She was being blessed through Boaz, who prayed that the Lord would richly reward Ruth. How should we understand this blessing here? Now, should we think that Boaz says, well, Ruth, you merited it? He does use the word reward there, verse 12. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you. But this is a saint who speaks of a reward. It's always gracious then. There's no merit of ours before God. ever. There's only grace. As we take refuge in the Lord, as God orients us toward a blessing, changes our heart, regenerates us, converts us so that we entrust ourselves to Him, He grants a blessing in accordance with faith. The blessing doesn't come apart from faith. It's through faith. The blessing corresponds to the object of our faith, to God Himself, the one who provides. And Boaz speaks as a leader in Israel. But he also speaks as one who himself trusts in the Lord. One who has been blessed by God, who knows that firsthand. Boaz knows that those who ask, receive. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, the door will be opened. Boaz knows, even though it wouldn't come into these words till centuries later, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Boaz knows that which matters most is not one's ethnicity, one's ethnic background, one's gender, one's even native idol God. He knows it from his own mother. Didn't we read from the book of Matthew, didn't we? Children, did you catch the name? Well, there were two names there. We could have read further and read a third. Ruth is mentioned, but also Rahab. Boaz's mother was Rahab. Rahab, who was a Gentile in Canaan, in Jericho. A worshiper of false gods originally. A great sinner, a prostitute. But she was spared destruction when Israel came through, and we saw that in our series through Joshua, didn't we? Why? Because she entrusted herself to the God of Israel. Rahab sought refuge under His wings. Boaz knew that from his mother. And he detected it in Ruth also. Your sinful past doesn't matter. What we are by nature doesn't matter then. What matters is if God has created faith within one's heart and joins us to Jesus so we take refuge under His wings. Are you trusting Him? That's what matters. And seeing the proof of Ruth's true faith by the deeds she has done and continues to do, Boaz speaks a word of blessing upon her. And he gives earthly blessing as well. God abundantly blesses, graciously rewards those who fear Him, who walk in His way. God's indebted to no one. Now, let me ask you, congregation, do you think God is indebted to you? And we won't put in those words, right? Well, I go to church twice. I give in the offering plate. Well, I send my kids to Christian school or I homeschool them. Of course God ought to do this. Then you're not taking refuge in the Lord. You're resting in your own works, your own goodness, your own service. You're not walking by faith, but by sight. Walk by faith. Those who demand a blessing from the Lord based upon their service and commitment deserve and receive no blessing. The only comfort is for those, again, as we read in verse 13, favor. Favor. Grace. For those who entrust themselves to God and seek refuge, there is great blessing. You receive it. Receiving a blessing from the Lord, being brought into His people, that's a wonderful blessing. Confident in our status then as God's children, as recipients of His favor, His grace, we then move on to pursue a blessing. And that's what we move to in our third point as this narrative unfolds further with Ruth. So having found refuge in the God of Israel, now Naomi in chapter 3, she prompts. And she sends Ruth out to talk to Boaz at night, harvest time. Ruth pursues then a further blessing. She listens to Naomi and does it. The blessing there is of marriage. And with this marriage, Ruth will be fulfilled as God created her to be. Creational realm, a wife, a mother. She won't have to glean in the fields anymore. She'll have a husband to provide for her needs. She'll be able to focus on home and homemaking. And having this type of husband will also bring relief to Naomi, provide for her as well, not only materially, but also with an heir. We see here that we as believers, we have our eyes fixed on heaven, our hearts there, right? But God has given us work here to do too. We are to be heavenly minded, yes, But he's given us tasks and callings here below to bring that heavenly mindedness into action here. And we find a blessing in them as we pursue them by faith, in faith, as unto the Lord. We're to take into these tasks, into these callings, like marriage and parenthood, and other work, wherever that is, take the new life of heaven. To live as those in whom the presence of the Spirit abides. So that we transform these things from simply being duties and activities, passing away the time, living for the weekend. Transform them to advance God's kingdom here on earth by doing them for God's glory, doing them for the good of our neighbor, and the power of the Spirit. Having received the blessing from God, the new life of the Spirit, God spreads that, works that out as we live to His glory within these callings and tasks. It's not wrong to pursue these further blessings, in this case, even marriage. God's created us to enjoy these. It's right, it's good to do that. As women, yes, but also men. Whatever calling God has established, you may pursue it. And we're blessed in that. And as you pursue it, as you fulfill it as God's child, according to God's will, that blessing takes on an eternal value, a lasting value. It endures beyond this life, even as our own bodies will participate in the resurrection, the renewal of the cosmos. We don't know how. We don't know all the details of how that resurrection will work. We don't know how God takes the labor of our hands now done in the Lord and has it endure. But Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 15, because of the resurrection in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. It's good to be part of something bigger. And as a follower of Christ, you are part of something bigger. Bigger than merely an earthly project or business or even country. We're part of the kingdom of God. And this whole story, again, of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, the author points that God's got bigger plans that He works these little plans into. You're part of the kingdom of heaven. God's building that kingdom through you. And just as a side note, as we turn to the Scriptures to direct how we are to live, we need to be careful, you know, how we apply that. Now, here's a story of how a young woman and, well, maybe an old man, we don't know exactly how old Boaz is, but of their courtship, their betrothal, their marriage. Well, don't necessarily copy this, you know, how to find a husband, how to find a wife. Even if it's in the Bible as godly people did it, it's not necessarily exactly how we're to do it, but these themes are here. To live by faith, to seek the Lord's blessing, orient there, pursue a blessing and be a blessing. And that's where Ruth is also brought to. Not only pursuing a blessing, that of marriage, that of an heir, but then bearing it. And that's what we move to in our fourth point, bearing a blessing. By God's enabling, His kindness, His favor, Ruth bore a child, an heir. Elimelech's line would not die out. There's one of the blessings. The problem that had been introduced in the beginning of the story, that of death, it's been resolved. The baby's born, an heir. Naomi is filled fuller than she could have imagined, than she was hoping for, even just about a year before that point. She took a child and laid him in her lap and took care of him. There are a number of us here who are grandparents, great-grandparents, perhaps great-great-grandparents. Wonderful event. Imagine very memorable. But how much more for Naomi? Again, who just about a year or so ago was filled with bitterness, filled with despair. The Lord has blessed Ruth, abundantly blessed Ruth, and that blessing is to overflow to others, and it does. But the author is not done just saying, well, here's Ruth, it's a good story. And at the very end, he gives a genealogy. And he ties it through to Perez all the way to David. It almost seems, by tying into Perez, and if you know that, we haven't gotten to that point yet in our series through Genesis, but it's a sordid affair with Judah, Tamar, Perez. It's almost like with this, there's a redemption of that family. An undoing. And too many themes to get into with Judah. We'll just leave it there for now. But there's a redeeming of this family line of Judah. And it comes out in the King David. But even what the human author did not know, as we know today, is that Jesus came through this line. The blessing is not limited to a family or even a nation, but to every tribe and people on earth. For the Messiah, Jesus, was born out of David's line, out of Ruth's line, out of Rahab's line. And in Jesus, the blessing of God overflow to us today. Overflow in this life, overflow into eternity. But only for those who entrust themselves to Jesus. In Christ alone is blessedness found. All the blessings of this life ought to serve to draw our eyes to the blessings we cannot now see with our eyes, to the blessings true believers have in Jesus. And congregation, I ask again, why are you here? What are you seeking? Do you have these blessings? Are you assured that you have them? And live in light of that. As we've said before, Christians often have more trials in this world because we no longer belong to it and the world hates us. But in the midst of these trials, the Christian, we have a peace that passes understanding. God opens our heart to blessings. Do you know that blessedness? Do you know that peace? You won't find it anywhere else than in Jesus, through faith in Him. Because Jesus alone has obeyed, suffered, died, risen again, and now is seated in glory in heaven. Trust Him. Trust and then obey and bring blessedness to others. You know, our catechism wisely puts it, how many things must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort, Christian comfort? Three things. First, how great my sin and misery are. Second, how I am delivered from all my sins and misery. Third, how I am to thank God for such deliverance. We see that in Ruth. We see it in Boaz. It is to be in our lives too. To receive that blessing and then to bear it to others. Live by faith and be blessed. And then go forth and seek to bless others. And may God receive all the praise. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for coming to us. By nature, enemies of you, lost sin and misery and death, and the torments of hell. No hope. But thank you that you have come to us and in Christ brought us out of our guilt, brought us out of our shame, have given us hope and a future, life, righteousness, reconciling us to you. And Lord, we look around and you have given so many earthly blessings also. And it is all from your grace, your favor. Thank you. May we realize that. May we seek a blessing from you, O Lord. To seek a blessing through faith, according to faith, and then to share with others. Thank you, Lord, for the generosity in this congregation. And may it continue to share with those who are in need, to share with those who walk by faith, to say, yes, there is a blessing. So many blessings. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.